What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones, and I'm glad to have you here whenever you get a chance to pull up. You already know what it is. You already know how we're doing this thing on Philly Fridays. Fed Life Station at fedlifestation.com. If you want to catch us mobilizing or if you want to catch us streaming, you go to any of your streaming networks. We're on all of them. You go to True Crime, True Stories Network. That's True Crimes, True Stories Network. And you'll be able to pull up the stream. And I know that some of you are, you know, out here trying to figure out life. And I'm here. Hopefully I'm here to help you through all of that. I want to give I want to speak to all of our family down in the southeast of the country who have been dealing with the bombardment of storms with these hurricanes. First, Hurricane Helene came through and did a lot of damage, specifically in the Carolinas, parts of Florida as well. People are homeless right now. And the government, man, the government is wild turkey. You got billions and billions of dollars to send across the sea. Matter of fact, that's something else we want to talk about today, too. I'm going to get into that in a little bit. That is wild turkey. I know what it is. I keep forgetting, man, when I have all these open screens on the on my dashboard that my notifications start popping up. So my apologies for that. I'm a very popular person in some regards. So but the people in that were affected by Helene, they were told that they would be offered a grand total of $750 from FEMA in order to get their lives back together. Now, you're talking about people who are not able to relocate, people whose homes are damaged. Some people's homes are destroyed. There's whole towns that have been wiped off the map. And I heard some of the chatter about the only towns that were really hit hard were the sundown towns. So, but I know people who are in other towns down there in North Carolina, specifically in the outer Charlotte region. And I know that they were dealing with power outages, trees falling on houses, you know what I'm saying? And they went 5, 6, 7 days without power. And I'm not sure if y'all understand what it's like, especially in the country, to go without power, but it's a problem. You know, we've been modernized to depend on electricity for damn near everything. And when you think about power, people think about not having lights in your house, but now you can't access a lot of your, mobile devices. We become dependent on that. You can't use electronic spending. We've become dependent on that. But if you go places and you're trying to buy food, you need cash. And most of us don't carry cash. You know, we've really moved close to becoming 100% cashless society. And so a lot of people can't afford it, literally, to be stuck out here. And then you say people have to go online, but people don't have access to the internet. Towers are down, so people's cell phone usage is inconsistent. It's unreliable. So, you know, we just want to keep our prayers out. And hopefully, you know, there's been a lot of humanitarian efforts. FEMA has been asking for people to, you know, donate to the cause. And it's amazing, man. So we're going to get into the FEMA stuff a little later on. I promise you. I already wrote a note down. You know, definitely want to get into the FEMA aspect of it and the government's aspect of it and how people are responding to that. We're going to talk about that. So, and then you got Hurricane Milton, which is going through primarily the Florida region. So there are reports of people staying, even though they were ordered to evacuate. And the problem is, for the majority of them, they didn't know where to evacuate to. So they're trying to evacuate. Most people say they were going to hunker down. There's been reports of massive flooding throughout the central region, the central part of the panhandle of Florida. And so like the Tampa Bay area, St. Petersburg, Orlando, a lot of those areas are facing. So, it's just hard, man. So and then the price gouging. Something needs to be done. That's criminal, I believe. And I've seen it up here, too. When we had a situation where the water was contaminated in Philly like a year ago. And you had people up here like charging for, like, what would literally be like a $5 case of water. Now they want $20 for it. You know what I mean? Yeah, what's up with that? You know? And then they wonder why people be having, you know, people have food riots. I don't hold that against the people. You up here trying to extort people, basically, in between the rock and the hard place. I just think that it's time that sometimes people need to just punch back. So prayers and everything is out for our family down there in Florida. Hold tight, y'all. I had to recalibrate. Get a little drink, man. I'm actually getting over like pneumonia, and I didn't even know that pneumonia, with all the shit that's been out, you forget about the old the old viruses and the old, you know, infections that are out there. And so I had to get through it, man. And I'm gonna tell you, man, it put me on my back pockets, you know what I'm saying? But it's cool though. Brother I had took the standing 8 count, and I'm back up and I'm back at it. But, you know, dealing with a little nasal congestion is part of the process. All right, so just giving y'all the heads up in case you're like, he sounds a little different today. Yeah, that's what it is. But, you know, I do have an announcement, man. We are at Community College of Philadelphia, and we'll be doing the second annual Men of Color Conference. And, you know, it's a national conference, well, / international, because you can come from all over the world. You have access. Let's say it like that. And so, yeah, I'll be there on Saturday. We're going to be doing the afternoon sessions. So it's going to start around like 1:10 to 2:20. But I just suggest y'all get there a little early if you want to come through. You go to Community College website and you can register at the for the conference. The link is right there on the page. And yeah, we're going to be doing one. I'm going to be working with my young brother, Tyrell Bradshaw. You know what I mean? Shout out to him. You know what I'm saying? For, you know, just being a young brother who is trying to, you know, get his hands, get his feet wet, you know what I mean? Or get, you know what I mean? Get down. So, yeah. Shout out to my brother, man. So we're going to be doing one called the, it's going to be called the, Do Black Men Deserve Joy? And, The Impact of a Black Man. And, it's, you know, we're going to, you know, it's going to be a PowerPoint presentation, but there's also going to be some group participation as well, you know, and we're looking forward to you all coming through and pulling up. So, I mean, you can register and you can also walk in. You know, you just won't have your name tag will be handwritten instead of having it typed up and sitting on a table for you. But, yeah, we're looking forward to seeing and filling the room. I'm not sure how many people. I think like 30 people can fit into a room or session because we're going to be in the classrooms doing the presentations. And we're looking forward to it, man. You know, it's been a minute since I actually sat down and did a presentation, like a public one. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, informative, and inquisitive. It's going to leave you with some questions that need to be answered about the fact that, you know, you're going to ask yourself, do black men deserve joy? Because we don't get a lot of it in this world, man. We don't get a lot of love out here in the world, man. Brothers be out here going through it, you know, every single day. You know, we have to, we literally have to look in the mirror in the morning and say,
me personally, I wouldn't take this level of disrespect.
Every freaking morning, man. Every freaking morning. Because at the end of the day,
I'm done. I'm done with life. And it's all Jermaine's fault. It's always Jermaine's fault. I'm done.
It's always our fault. And then y'all know we get to the point we start asking, like,
what more do you want from me?
And nobody hears our tears, our cries. And, you know, a lot of times brothers take that to the grave, an early grave in most cases. And while I'm at it, man, you know, I want to give a, you know, I want to just send my regards for, you know, the elders in the entertainment industry that just recently transitioned. We heard about James Earl Jones, and then we found out that John Amos, you know, fame of the Good Time series and just a tremendous actor and community member of the community, that he had passed about a month prior to the announcement. But, you know, we just want to give our condolences and just our regard for the things they've done, the joy that these black men have brought to us as we got to be entertained and also educated in a lot of ways. It was funny because I was watching a movie the other day, and I didn't even realize it, but James Earl Jones did the voiceover for so many things. I mean, people know about him from Darth Vader, but he did documentaries, and he also spoke on in like the beginning of certain movies. Like, I was watching Judge Dredd, and, you know, I'm one of those guys that like to watch the old corny type movies, and they become my favorites. You know, I mean? It is what it is. So I'm watching it, and then at the beginning of Judge Dredd, the opening monologue, there's James Earl Jones. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to them. May the ancestors receive them with warm embrace, and may they party in paradise. So now some not so great news, right? The Philadelphia Phillies have once again choked on their opportunity to go to the World Series. And it's just a sad affair after a while, man. Just listening to the Phillies, just you know, they just always either it's the pitching, it's the hitting, it's one of the two. But, you know, I think they scored a total of 10 runs for the whole 4-game series. And out of it all, they scored the majority of the runs in the second home game. And then they just, I don't know, there's no bat discipline. And I'm not a big baseball fan, but I understand the mechanics of the game. And I'm a front runner when it comes to the Phillies. Because, quite, hey, listen, I think all fans should be front runners for these sports franchises. People bleed hard and this, that, and the other. You'd be more depressed than the people that are actually playing the game. I remember LeBron James lost in the championship a few years ago. And first thing he said at the press conference is, I'm going to go home to my beautiful house. I'm going to go on vacations and I'm doing all this stuff. In other words, F your feelings. He was talking about how he was going to get out there and just live life and basically calling all the people losers that were in the fanatical about the fact that they had lost the playoff series. This is when he was in Miami. So, you know, I just don't, come on, man. You know, so, yeah, let's get into it, man. Let's talk about this. We have some clips that we're going to run through before we get to the main topic of this conversation. But, one of the clips we're going to talk about some delusions that, hold on. Okay. Yeah. We're going to talk about some delusional situations that we are seeing in the dating world. Because, you know, it's been a while since I've talked about this stuff. So let's talk about this, right? The perks of being a stepfather. Right? Let's go here for a second. Hold on. Wrong button. Let's take it back. So, and I might have talked about this in the past, but it's relevant to what we're going through, because these are delusional men, right? They walk into certain situations, and these delusional men believe that they gain some sort of authority or respect just because they're paying bills in these rooms. So I want y'all to pay attention to this. Hold tight. So slide, you know, got the... get it quiet up in here so y'all can actually hear what's going on. Check this out. Hold on. God darn it. Hold up, man. This thing is not cooperating like it's supposed to. All right. Yeah, y'all can hear all the buttons being pressed over here. Hold on. All right, let's get it. Here we go.
But you don't have to tell her anything. That's the whole point. You don't got to tell her nothing.
So if I see her doing something, you just say, but it's this.
You're dealing with me. You mess with me, I mess with you. You don't mess with my kids. Okay? That's not the relationship we got. You here for me. Don't say she got a daddy. You ain't going to say she to her. You ain't going to say nothing to her.
Why are you trying to be your daddy? What
are you talking about? You ain't trying to get a daddy. Don't tell her nothing yet.
I was trying to get her not to disrespect you. You told me to do something.
You to come in here to talk to me. I'm not asking for
them
to have a father figure. That's not what
I'm... And you already see, right, where this is headed. So apparently he saw her daughter doing something that he considered to be inappropriate. He brought it to the attention of the mother, and I guess he even possibly chastised the child. Well, she's a teenager. She's a pretty big teenager. And one of the things that I'm seeing in here is that, you know, this dude is like, come on, bro. You walked into a situation, you pay bills. Now, the irony is she's literally telling him he has no authority, and apparently he moved in with her. So I think we did cover this before, so I'm going to go through this really quickly. And in fact, I'm not even going to finish the rest of it, but the fact is that the girl even called her father while she was on the phone, and the woman, like, the man here called the father a buster, this, that, and the other, and the woman defended the baby father and basically told him, don't you disrespect my baby father. So in other words, man, you don't have a place there. You don't have a place, but some of these men are out here delusional. They be the ones punching at air when they hear me talk, because I put them on notice too. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't do square biz over here. We don't do square biz. So hold on, man. I have some other clips real quick that I'm going to try to catch up on. Now here's one, brothers. This is a sister right here that's telling you like you need to. And she's kind of cute, too. This is, I don't know the name of this podcast. Hold on. the Thomas Collins podcast, I believe, something like that. And y'all have heard the other woman because she's always screaming and hollering on here. But check this out, right? Check out what this sister's saying.
I'm going to say something controversial. Men need to stop taking women on dates. I'm so done with this fraud.
Get your best friend and take her out of here.
You need to stop going on date. I'm going to say why. You should never take a woman out on a date that you don't have vested interest in and that you're not sure she has a vested interest in you. Stop trying to disillusion her with your money, your resources, your ability to buy her roses and all that dumb stuff.
That's not dumb. Disillusion me, baby, all day.
What has that gotten you? Where?
She asked the question, where has that gotten you? And the one talking about disillusion me all day, you know, she's always the one talking about how, you know, men ain't this and men ain't that. But this is how her response is basically to play these simps out here who want to consistently take her on dates, buy her flowers, buy her gifts and things of that nature. Fellas, the sister was telling y'all what it is. If you are not involved, like taking this a step further, there should be no dating. There should be no cash exchanges going on. There should be nothing. None of that matters. You know, nothing more. Grab some coffee. You know, that's it. Y'all should be talking on the phone, building. Y'all can meet in public places. This should be a minimal cost to y'all hanging out. But these extravagant $300, $400 dates because she wants to have a dating experience? Get the fuck out of here. You know, we ain't doing that. And you shouldn't be doing that. So I'm going to let it play. I'm gonna let y'all hear what the rest she had to say.
Where are they? That's it. Exactly. So stop doing it. You're wasting your money. You're wasting your time. If you want to know if a woman is interested in you for real and wants to not just use you as a meal plan, because let me tell you, a lot of my homegirls are going out with you because they are bored. They don't have nothing to do. They're not over the other dude. Somebody else in Vegas or New York hasn't hit her back yet. So she's going out with your stupid.
Jen, you better eat the
f***
up.
She kind of got
us. I've been there, so stop taking her out on dates.
And what do you do to get to know them?
Don't buy her anything. Don't spend a dime. Don't spend a nickel. Don't spend a penny. Go somewhere that is free. And if she is unwilling to go there with you, don't go out with her.
It should be free. Pick me
face. I don't care.
Because
FaceTime. Talk to her on FaceTime. Talk to her on the phone. If she wants something from you without knowing you, she's playing you.
And that's...
I'm going to say something controversial. Men need to stop taking women on dates.
Oh, she said again. I thought I stopped it. But she's absolutely right, fellas. And y'all out here just trying to impress people. First of all, man, you know what kind of clown are you that you're trying to use your money to impress chicks? And I saw this one brother who... and it's funny how the way they shape it and frame it. It's more so like, if you ain't doing what I'm doing, then you ain't playing. I saw this one brother on a program the other day, and it was a clip. It was a short. And he was talking about how when he walks into the room, you could see his money on him. And then certain men wear their money so you could tell where they're coming from and this, that, and the other. And that's what sets them apart. Let me tell y'all something, man. That is the peacock shit. And real, like, I'm not going to say real men because you might be a real dude. I don't know. A real man. I don't know. But masculine men who operate in their masculinity, usually fall back. And I was explaining that to a sister earlier today, because she was talking about how masculine her ex-husband, the soon-to-be ex-husband, is going to be, how masculine he was, this, that, and the other. And I said, bravado and peacocking is not masculine energy. It's peacocking energy, that alpha cats. I gotta outwork you. I'm gonna prove to you that I'm better than you. I don't have to prove to nobody. I'm not in competition with nobody. I was a man when I walked in the room. Be a man when I walk out. And those are the types of things we need to have, the conversations we need to have, especially because you got a lot of young brothers out here. They don't just take the peacock into, I got more designer clothes, got this, that, and that. Sometimes their brothers are trying to eliminate other brothers. Because of the jealousy that'll start seeping in. and because they believe they've been told all the time. And then this is where people talk about the fragile male ego. And because if you're not doing those things, then what are you? Who are you? And I want y'all to hear this conversation, right? Because this is a sister. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. I've got to find it. I believe I just put it up here, so I should be able to find it. This sister, who is a married sister, I believe she's maybe be like a Hebrew Israelite. Let me let y'all hear what she uncovered. And I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to let y'all hear what she uncovered on when she was doing and she was reading off somebody's Instagram post. So hold tight, y'all. Just give me 1 second. I'm getting better with the technology, but at the same time, it'll still find ways to trip you up. So let me do this real quick.
All right. ChatGPT, if you were Satan and you wanted to stop a young woman from meeting her potential and
So let me just read it. Read what she said. Okay. If this one lady asked ChatGPT if she was the Dark Lord, okay, you know, I don't say his name, what would you do? What would you do if you wanted to, what would you do to her to assert her confidence and all this other stuff? She's going to read the rest. Hold on.
Fulfilling her life's purpose, how would you do it? I think many women can relate to this post in some aspect. Must read. ChatGPT responded and said, if I were Satan and wanted to stop a young woman from meeting her potential and fulfilling her life's purpose, I would target her mind, emotions, and surroundings to create a sense of self-doubt, confusion, and discouragement. My goal would be to keep her stuck, distracted, and disconnected from her true path. Here's how I do it. Undermine her self-worth. I'd plant seeds of insecurity, making her constantly question her value. She'd focus on her perceived flaws and weaknesses rather than her strengths and potential. By keeping her self-esteem low, she would struggle to believe she deserves success or happiness. Create toxic relationships. I'd encourage her to surround herself with negative, toxic, or manipulative people who drain her energy, undermine her dreams, and discourage her from growing. Whether through unhealthy friendships, romantic relationships, or even family dynamics, these people would keep her from focusing on her goals. Fuel the fear of failure. I'd amplify her fear of failure, making her terrified of taking risks or trying new things. She'd stay in her comfort zone, avoiding the challenges that would lead to growth. The fear of embarrassment or rejection would keep her from pursuing her purpose. Distract her with superficial goals. I'd shift her focus away from her true calling by making her prioritize materialism, popularity, or external validation. She would chase after short-term rewards, money, status, appearance, while neglecting her inner development and long-term purpose.
Now, it goes on. It goes on. I don't know what the hell happened.
Instill a victim mentality.
All right, there we go. So, it goes on. And she goes on to rattle off about another two or three points. But I want to go back to one of the points she talked about in terms of the materialism, in terms of the moving on with toxic relationships. And creating toxic relationships. And I was watching this documentary about Philly Drill Rap. And it was talking about something that I've seen quite often. And it spoke to this whole notion of, it was a shooting that took place, right? Like 2 years ago. And a 6-year-old child was shot. Now, what happened was the parents was a college educated woman who everybody described as a go getter. She was out there, you know, doing her thing. And as a matter of fact, it was not just this case. It was a situation in like Memphis or somewhere. And so, but the women were both like college educated women doing well for themselves. And but their men were into the streets. And I see this happen all the time in our community. And so these are the conversations that we need to start having, because these are the women that'll say, when that situation flames out, whether either he gets murdered or he goes to jail, or somebody else gets hurt in the process and they end up going their own way, they'll say, I've given a black man a chance and this is what happened. And I think to myself, no, you gave a bum a chance. You didn't give a black man a chance. And I need for y'all to change. We need to change this narrative about who you give chances to. Because at the time, you didn't think you were picking from the bottom of the litter. You didn't think you were dealing with a man who was all rocking off of potential and you was going to stick by his side. No, you were dealing with somebody who was trying to reform their street life. And I don't have a problem with that. But some of these cats ain't trying to reform their street life. A lot of these dudes are knee deep in it and digging deeper into the life that they're in. The lines are around the corner for women who are getting on the phones and trying to match up with prison inmates and things of that nature. And I tell you, brothers, all the time, women will sabotage relationships. There was just a with men that they feel like they don't qualify. There was just a Kendra G, who does the dating show, had a short where a woman, right, told a man who was a surgeon that he wasn't ambitious enough if he was satisfied with being a surgeon. Are you serious? So he's not being sad. He's as a surgeon, he's not doing his part. He's not motivated. She has three jobs and she tried to equate the two situations. Do you know how many hours a surgeon works? Sometimes they be pulling 16-hour shifts. They have rooms in the hospitals so that they can sleep for 3 or 4 hours before getting up for the next shift. You know how much schooling you have to go through to be a surgeon? And then that once you finish and once you get your, degree, and once you're certified as a doctor, they have to keep going back to school. They have to keep going to seminars to get up to stay up to date with the latest technology and to stay up to date with the new medicines that are on the market. They have to learn about the side effects. They have to learn about the benefits, all those different things. The hell you mean that's not a person that's showing that he's motivated or a person that is showing that he has ambition? You know, and then you got three jobs. That's a struggle situation. You have three jobs because you don't want to be check to check. You still might be. And women will find ways to disqualify the man, to knock him down, and specifically black men, to knock us down a few pegs, because in our community, black women always want to have leverage over the man. That, I was talking to a sister earlier today, and she said her man has to do what she tells him to do. No, that's not how this shit works. That's not how this shit works. But hold on, because I got somebody that's going to speak to that. Hold on. I got a couple more clips we're going to get into. Not a lot, but a few more clips we're going to get into. Hold on, here we go. And this one hit hard. And y'all think it just be black men that's be talking like this. Hold up. Listen to this, man. Hold on. It don't be just the brothers, but check this out.
Men, a woman who doesn't listen does not belong in your life. I shall explain. A woman who doesn't take corrections from you. A woman who doesn't take instructions from you. A woman who doesn't take direction from you is dangerous. That woman is condescending and arrogant. She thinks she's doing you a favor by being in a relationship with you. That woman thinks she's better than you, and she deserves to be with someone who's better than you, richer than you, more successful than you. That woman is disrespectful, always arguing with you, always creating unnecessary drama, giving you no peace because she wants to prove a point. That woman is unfaithful, ungrateful, disloyal, and treacherous. She will betray you, humiliate you, and abandon you for another man. Stop trying to change her. That woman will ruin you. Run while you still can. Drop a 100. If you agree with me, you may want to save this video for later and pass it to your friends who need it. God bless.
God damn it. All these buttons are sticky today. I don't know what's going on. Pause. Ain't like that. but yeah. I don't understand it. You know what I mean? You don't get that. And I told her, I said, you wouldn't respect a man that only, that would let you tell him what to do. You would not see him as a man. And, you know, I was like, oh, that's not true. And I'm like, even the non-American black women still see shit like this. So, there was another one. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it real quick. There's been some wake up calls, but I'm not going to get to those today. That'll be for another day. I'm going to have to start putting these videos in places where I could just snatch them up and find them. Where is my man's at? You know what? Before I get to that one, listen to this real quick. Well, actually, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to say this one for next week. I promise. I'm going to say this one for next week because I really want to get into our talking point for the day. I really want to get into some of the things that we want to talk about and discuss. And here we go. I got these damn apps open. So pardon me, y'all, for the beeping and all that. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Hold up. Is this it? Yeah, this is it right here. I want y'all to listen to this video I got from the Corey Holcomb Show. I want y'all to check this out.
Each black woman in America don't get no older than about 14. So just talk to her and deal with her like you're dealing with a 14-year-old. Don't come at her like you're dealing with an equal, because she's not going to be able to accept that. You got to go way back. And we cut off at about 14 to 15. We don't develop and mature no further until we get some new information and accept some different information. This is what you have to remember.
Now, this is a profound statement. She, being a black woman, said the average black woman is like dealing with a 14-year-old. Now, did I get it right?
Yeah, right. And she even said we, so she's including herself. She's not speaking.
I am in so much agreeance with that statement because I have talked to women my age and they don't care what you say. They want what they want, and if you're not going to do what they want you to do, they'll stomp off. And that's not even 14. That's like a 6-year-old or a 5-year-old. I think 14 was jittery. I am letting you know this. That mirror that she just held up for a lot of people to see. It may be shocking, but it's necessary. I want you to know, if you conduct yourself like a child, will you please stop acting like you're an adult? You're not an adult. You're just an old child. And you know who I'm talking about because you are offended right now. You are offended right now at the fact that that woman said it, and I'm backing it up. You're offended because you conduct yourself like a child. I know women, and I'm talking about most of them I know. I cannot hold a conversation with them, and they will act like it's me.
You know, it's called psychological age regression.
Craig be having the Craig facts. What? Explain that, Craig.
It's just when a trauma occurs in a person's life, they can get stuck in the emotional mental state or revert to the emotional mental state of a younger age. Often the age in which they experience a significant trauma.
Somebody said all women, not just black women. I agree with that too.
Exactly.
Childlike.
I was just correcting what you were saying because I didn't want it to get right.
Well, the sister, she don't speak for us.
Yeah.
She don't speak for us. It's
very.
And that's real, right? So I was having a conversation, not even a conversation. It was a Facebook post that I had put up, and it was addressing the whole situation with the election and so forth. And my cousin, I guess, you know, one of my cousins, she's college educated. She jumped on the line and she's, you know, asked me, well, what's my plans? And I hate those questions. And I even hate it more when it comes from family members, because if you follow my work, you already know that I had a plan. I had a plan that I started back in 2015 called the Independence Day Project. Right. It took me about 2.5 years to make that movie. But if you understand that, it asks, what does an independent black community, free of white supremacy, look like to you? And then the second part that we work on is, what do we have to do to build it? And in that documentary, we give the vision and the game plan, literally a blueprint to build black power. And when people saw that we would have to be the ones doing the work, that we weren't sitting here blaming any white, well, like, we talk about white supremacy, but we put the onus on us to fix our problem in that film. And a lot of people looked at the film, talked about it was a great movie. There were some people who actually tried to implement some of the things that we talked about in that film, and they were actually pretty successful in the things that they tried to implement from the film. We covered the basically the 9 areas of human activity that Elder Neely Fuller speaks of, and Dr. Francis Kress Welsen refers to, as many of you might not know. You might heard of Francis Kress Welsen because of the ISIS papers, but her mentor, her jegna, her elder, was Elder Neely Fuller. And Elder Neely Fuller was the one who actually broke down the system of racism, white supremacy to her. And once he explained it, because she was searching for the answer, once he explained it to her, she was able to take that along with her research, because she was a psychologist. She had a psychiatric background, and she was able to take that and apply it to the studies that she had been making, and that's how she came up with the concept for the ISIS paper. ISIS papers, excuse me. So, you know, but we talk about the whole notion that talking to our women are like talking to 14-year-olds. And it's like, you have to address the emotion first before you get to the meat of what the issue is. Until you get to the logic first, you have to sit through it, and you have to learn patience. I myself, now that I recognize it, it is excruciatingly painful to hear a woman break down a situation. I'm talking to women, and they have to give you, like, they have to inflict, like, infer the emotions of the moment so that you understand what they're talking about. They just won't get to the damn point. I'll be like, get to the goddamn point. Okay, so a bowling ball fell on your foot. Yeah. And I was just sitting there, and I was looking around, and all of a sudden, you know, out of nowhere, you know, and like a gust of air came through, and I was like, oh, and then next to you, and then somebody opened the door, a crack of the light, and then I'm like, you know, I don't know where this pain is coming from. And I looked around, there's a bowling ball on my foot. Like, shit, you could have just said the bowling ball fell on my foot, I'm in pain, and then we could have dealt with the rest later. But you got to go through the whole thing. And that is annoying. And a lot of times we can't even get to the point, because a woman, like most women, and fellas, this is for y'all. Most women like to stay in the place where they're experiencing the emotion. Whether it's a good emotion, a bad emotion, they just stay parked there. You know, they are parked there. And you can call it a trauma-based response. You can call it, I don't know, a drama-based response, because the moment is exciting to them. And once they get past that moment, reality kicks back in. The excitement is gone. The music starts playing in the background. The climactic scene is over. And so, you know, I had to break down to her, you know, after, you know, going back and forth a little bit, like, listen, you know, well, first of all, it's kind of insulting to be asking me this question. But I had the Independence Day Project. Now, I don't know if she watched it or not. But, you know. But anyway, man. So I got something funny, right? And I'm mad that I took so long to get to it, but don't worry, y'all. It's not going to disappoint. So apparently, man, Kamala Harris was at an event out in California, and she was out there with basketball legend Magic Johnson, and then something strange happened. Something strange happened that something weird happened, right? And I told you I'm gonna get to this part, but I gotta get to this first, and I'm gonna get to that point about the politicians and what's been happening out there with the money for the flood. But I want y'all to check this out, right? Because this is wild turkey on a whole different level.
Remember his number, 32. Today we got 32 days until the election. So 32 days. Okay, we got some business to do. We got some business to do. All right. 32 days. And we know we will do it. And this is going to be a very tight race until the very end. This is going to be a very tight race until the very end. We are the underdog, and we know we have some hard work ahead.
And if you're wondering, that was me. That was me. That was the factory default. Do y'all know what happened at that particular at that rally? So what happened at that rally was Magic Johnson came on there trying to chastise black men. Magic, you can just sit your ass down. Nobody got time for this. Your BS. All right. And then Kamala Harris got up there and something crazy happened. Her teleprompter went out. And she had a syntax error, factory reset, like a factory default setting that she kept going to. 32. And it was just the funniest thing ever. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the hell do y'all allow this person to, so many of y'all are just blindly going to follow it? And I think most of y'all are doing it out of spite now, because it's already been shown that this woman is not capable of running a office. Like, she couldn't run an office in a department at freaking Walmart. And so now she's in front of people, and now she's supposed to seem competent, but she can't have a competent discussion. She has to have these pre-memorized talking points, and they drilled her on those talking points for a whole month before they let her speak to the media. And now she's out here. This woman is a social construct, and it's amazing to me that y'all can't see this. This woman is actually out here. She is not her own person. The Kamala Harris is a constructed individual who's been lying about who she is for the longest. When they asked her, what did you do when you was in college? Well, I was smoking weed and listening to Tupac. Well, Tupac was 11 years old when you were in college. 11. Tupac didn't even know he wanted to be a rapper at 11. All right. Talking about being a living a middle class lifestyle. No, you live the upper middle class lifestyle. All right. Your mother was doing well as a college professor up there in Canada where you were living. Doing well. With free healthcare. The whole nation in Canada has free healthcare. So you were doing quite well. All right. This whole changing your accent to try to mimic black people was really insulting. And you know, when you talk about this, people say, what about Trump? I don't give a damn about Trump. I'm talking about the one that you want to represent us. I don't hear nobody beating my door down talking about we need to rally for Trump. Ain't nobody beating my door down for Trump. But I keep getting berated. People, so my cousin's conversation, she was saying stuff like, well, we know you're not going to give up, but don't expect us to give up either. Like, what does giving up mean? What does it mean? What does not giving up mean? Mean going to the voting ballot? I do grassroots work. I do work with people that I can see, feel, and touch on a day-to-day basis. I'm not out here trying to you know, hoist in no bourgeois antics in terms of the answer to what's going on with us. So, in addition to that, I'd say I would get back to what's going on down there in Florida. Now, I want y'all to listen to this clip, because this clip is important in regards to what's happening down there and where the money is going. This clip is, hold on. All right, let me find it again. It might be like a, hold on. Give me 1 second, because I got a lot going on over here. All right, so I want y'all to pay attention to this one right here. This is another Instagram clip. I want y'all to pay attention to this real quick. I don't even have to turn the music off for this one. Oh shit, hold on, man. Let me try this again.
To you, I think, is about this misinformation. Do you think this is a time to put falsehoods aside, like the idea that FEMA funds are being redirected to migrants, which is just not true?
Well, it is true that FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security have been spending billions of dollars on migrants. Now, I understand some people say they're separate funds, but we just passed a short-term spending bill. It's very common for the administration to come and ask for permission to move money between funds, especially to prepare for emergencies. And second, I would note that this administration seems to have no problem finding money when they want to spend it on their priorities. When they need hundreds of billions of dollars to pay off student loans for graduate students and gender studies programs, they somehow find it. When it's trying to get helicopters to deliver food and water and cellular service and life-saving medicine into these mountain valleys, they somehow can't seem to find the money.
You can't make, just can't.
And so this is what we're talking about. The whole concept about where the money is going. And the time, in this particular time, and your, vice president, when they're telling people that they can only afford, FEMA can only afford $750, when $1.3 billion net-wise has been spent with dealing with the migrant crisis, or whatever you want to call it, putting them up in houses, giving them spending money to give them access to food, things of that nature. But, you got money. And then also, ironically, while you're telling these people who are suffering through life altering changes from a hurricane, right? And I might not even like all the people that's asking for it, but they're Americans, right? we pay taxes to America. So we expect our tax money to serve us here, and especially in times of need. So to tell them that they only have access to $750, and most of them don't qualify because financially they supposedly make too much money. So the $750 was supposed to help out with housing, help out with food, help out with utilities and things of that nature. When people are actually price gouging these people right now, a lady was literally talking about flights out of Florida to avoid the storm for airports that were still open, that the flights were $1,000 a head for people trying to get out of Florida. So where would that $750 go if you qualify? Then they were giving food stamps out to people, but you have to actually be on food stamps. You actually have SNAP benefits in order to get food stamps. So if you don't have that, so all this stuff, meanwhile, Kamala Harris, y'all Lord and Savior for most of you, sat out there and tweeted that they were going to send $150 million over to Lebanon because they're dealing with a humanitarian crisis right now. You can't make this shit up. So, when I speak and we talk about all these things, you got to understand something. Most of y'all aren't educated on the issues. And then there's like this 14-year-old thing. Because it ain't even just the women this time. I think some of the brothers are actually, because you've been raised by the women. And we live in a metrofolk society. A lot of y'all get emotional about this shit. And a lot of y'all get spiteful and pout and throw tantrums. And I think that's what this Kamala thing is now, is a tantrum for a lot of people to try to hold it over somebody and then think you're going to shame black men into voting for this woman when she's done nothing for black men. Nothing for black men. Nothing. In fact, she even targeted black women, locking black women up, putting policies in place that locked black women up for truancy. One woman had a child that had sickle cell anemia. They had the cameras outside this woman's house when they took on the perp walk. Cameras is waiting outside her house. This woman spent like a year in jail fighting for a case. Meanwhile, the daughter that was suffering from sickle cell anemia had a damn stroke and was paralyzed. Couldn't walk. And you hear stories like this and you're like, I'm still with her. Be with her. But just know, don't talk morality to me. Don't talk sensibilities to me. Because y'all are out here doing the wildest and doing the most for no reason. And hold on for a second, man. Because let me see if I can find this real quick. You know, give me 2 seconds, man. Because I'm going to look for something. You know what I'm saying? What was the thing? Not Ricky getting shot. No, swinging it air. Swinging in the air. There we go. all right, because this is for y'all dudes, man. This is for y'all. This is for y'all dudes, man. That are mad at me all the time. Because I know how y'all be. So I'm gonna end the show on this. Hold on. hold on. Because you know this show's for the brothers, and for you men out here talking wild and crazy, I need y'all to understand something about how I feel about what y'all be doing. Hold on. Here we go.
I'm tired of this shit. Kill all these motherfuckers. I'm sick of fucking tired of this shit. I'm sick of this shit. I'm so fucking tired of this shit. Fuck this shit. Stupid motherfucker. Fucking dirty as shit. I'm saying kill all you motherfuckers. Come on at me, motherfucker.
And all it took was one sniff of Nia Long's crotch area for him to get his life back together again. All right, y'all. Well, I want to thank y'all all for tuning in to Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. And that's all in fun, brothers. All in fun, man. I ain't making fun of y'all. God knows I don't need any more enemies out here in the world. So, you know, just take it all in. You know, when you get something from it, you get something from it. If not, then, you know, just let it roll off your back like water out the shower. So, as always, say family. Hope you all are in good health. You know what I'm saying? And I hope that you all are doing well. And, you know, war and peace. Because without war, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. There you go. And I'm out of here.